Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about how to stop being a victim, part two. One of my most popular videos is called How to Stop Being a Victim. And I think it's one of the most foundational episodes that I've ever done. And so what I wanted to do here is I wanted to continue that discussion because I think it helps a lot of people to understand what it is exactly that gets you stuck into victim mindsets. So what I'd like you to do for this episode is I'd like you to select one area in your life where you are stuck and you feel like a victim. So there's a lot of areas, but let me that are possible for you to select. But let me give you some hints here as to how to find this. What I mean by being a victim is when you start thinking like this: I can't. It's impossible. It just won't work in this situation. I've already tried everything I can. It's just not going to happen. There's no way it's going to work. I don't know how. My genetics aren't going to allow me. My life situation is just such that I can't do it. You know, my boss is holding me back. My husband is holding me back. My girlfriend is holding me back. My children are eating up all my time. There's not enough time in the day. I don't have enough money. These sorts of reasons, right? So where in your life do you feel like this? Like you're really stuck and you're stuck because of some kind of outer circumstances that are really holding you back. And this could be with your health, could be with your fitness, could be with your diet, could be with your money situation, with your relationships, with your marriage, with your children, could be with your career, could be in business, right? So go ahead right now, take a few moments and select such an area. You do have one of these areas. Doesn't matter if you're a total victim in life or you have a, you know, a very specific place in your life where you act like a victim. But most people have such a place. Okay, so you found that. Good. Now, keep that in mind as I'm going to be talking here and telling you a little bit about victim mindsets. So an interesting thing that I was thinking about recently is what makes a victim a victim? What makes a victim a victim? And it's really sad to me when I see people who are stuck in victim mindsets. It's really sad to me, and I'll talk about why towards the end of this episode. But what makes a victim is this, and it's a very profound thing. A victim thinks that the external world is a greater obstacle to him than he is to himself. Did you get that? This is very profound. Let me say it again. A victim is a victim because he thinks that the external world is a greater obstacle to him than he is to himself. It's critical that you grasp this. This is such a deep insight. You are the only obstacle. That's what I'm telling you. There are no other obstacles but you. Anything that you think is an external obstacle, such as lack of money, or lack of time, or that boss that's holding you back, or that spouse that's holding you back, or the world being unfair, or anything like this, that's an illusion. It's your mind that's the obstacle. Always. This is always the case. This is one of the most, like, bedrock, foundational principles of all self-development, is to realize this, that what I'm saying is true. Now, the problem, of course, is that if you're a victim, you don't believe me. And when I tell you this, your mind comes up with all sorts of objections and logic and counterexamples, which you believe are convincing and refute what I'm saying. But that's not the case. And I want to show this to you. I want to sort of convince you of it. That's the whole point of this episode. This is very basic stuff. All I need you to do is just to grasp this. But see, there's different levels at which you can grasp this truth. There's kind of the surface level of just hearing me say it and understanding it intellectually. Then there's a kind of secondary, a little bit deeper, intermediate level of grasping it, where you actually kind of like get a little bit convinced of what I'm saying. And then there's a really deep level of grasping this when you actually see how this is true and why it's true. And you actually see it working in your own life and you see it working in the lives of everyone around you. And you just recognize it as a general principle of life. So, you know, we start at the top and we kind of work our way down deeper and deeper and deeper. So that's what this is all about. Now, when I say that your mind is the obstacle and the only obstacle, I'm not just saying that, well, the solution to all your problems is positive thinking. So don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. Your mind is the obstacle, again, in many different deep ways. So there's layers to which your mind is the obstacle. There's the surface level of like, oh, I'm just not thinking positive enough. But then there's much deeper layers and ways in which the mind is the obstacle. And a lot of what I do with the various videos I release is I talk about the deeper and deeper and more subtle ways in which your mind is the obstacle. But then when people hear that, they often leave me comments saying something like, oh, Leo, what you're talking about is so philosophical, it's so abstract, it's so theoretical, it doesn't apply in my life, so why should I even listen to this stuff? You know, but we got to start somewhere. So let's start here. See, victims don't realize that the mind is the only obstacle. They don't actually grasp this. They don't see all the ramifications that such a statement has. There's a failure in a victim to appreciate the possibility of self-deception and how much their own mind is deceiving them. That's just not something I see victims taking very seriously. If you're wise, you take the possibility of self-deception very seriously. It's one of the biggest dangers in life that you have to be guarding against and keeping yourself vigilant against. Instead of worrying about things like your boss holding you back, or enemies that you have, or business competitors out there, or the bad economy, or something about your spouse holding you back, or maybe your genetics. Like you weren't born beautiful, or you weren't born confident, or you didn't have good parents, you didn't have a good upbringing, or you know you weren't born with the best genes, or whatever situation you find yourself in life is just kind of a crappy situation. Instead of worrying about all that kind of stuff, which we might gloss and call that all that the external world, what you should actually be worrying about is the following. Your mental filters, your attitude, your limiting beliefs, your judgments, unquestioned assumptions you have about reality, your lack of introspection, visualization, or the images that you run through your mind, what those are. You should be worried about your monkey mind, and how it chatters and prattles on and on and on without stop and without any control. You should be concerned about your model of reality as a whole. You should be concerned about your emotional reactions and how your thoughts and your beliefs are charged by emotional reactions and judgments. You should be concerned about what you view as right and wrong and good and evil. So basically, the self-constructed model of morality that you have. You should be concerned about the habits that you cultivate, or lack thereof. You should be concerned about your self-talk, How do you talk to yourself? What words do you use when you talk to yourself? And what's the tone of the language you use when you talk to yourself? And the fact that this self-talk is largely subconscious, outside of your everyday awareness. You should be concerned about awareness and consciousness and how little mindfulness you have. And you should be very concerned about ego and the effects of ego on your relationship to other people, the outer world, and to yourself. That's the stuff you should really be concerned about. But as a victim, you tend to discount all this stuff. You don't spend much time thinking, strategizing, and even worrying about this. You spend most of your time worrying about the external world rather than the internal world. Or another way I like to put it is that you spend too much time worrying about physics versus psychology. You see, the external world, that's like the physical world. You're worrying about physical obstacles. The internal world, that's the psychological world. You're worried about the internal obstacles, your own mind, in other words, right? That's the internal world. One deep thing you fail to realize is that reality, or what you call the external world, is actually a projection of your internal world. And you don't acknowledge just how much external reality is warped by your psychology. See, for the victim, and this is really twisted, this is what makes victim thinking so difficult to extricate yourself from, is because if you are a victim with regards to some facet of life or to all of life, then as a victim, part of your internal world or your psychology has a belief in it that says something along the following. How I think about the world is not that significant. Reality just basically is what it is. The physical world is what it is. And I've got real problems, Leo. I've got real problems to deal with. My problems are real. See, you have some kind of belief system like that going on inside you. And when you believe something like that, you're really stuck. Because A, first of all, that's totally false. So you're just flat out wrong. It's a false belief that you have. Because how you think is extremely significant. And reality is not just what it appears to be. Reality is just not physical. And your problems are not just real-world physical problems. So, like I said, firstly, you're just flat-out wrong. But secondly, when you believe this, notice how ingeniously deceptive this is. It's deceptive to the point of beauty. It's beautiful how deceptive your own mind is and how it deceives you. Notice that when you believe that your thoughts are not that significant, then that means you're not going to take any actions to introspect and think about your thoughts. You're not going to be reflective. You see, your attention is always going to be pointed out there at the external world, and it's never going to want to turn in on itself and to really investigate itself. And that's what victims tend to do. The reason a victim stays stuck is because he doesn't or she doesn't look inside to see how these quote-unquote real problems are actually being created by the victim's mind, by your beliefs, by your attitude, by your perspective. The reality is that there are no real problems. Problems are not things that exist in the external world, even though it seems that way. What a problem is a problem is a feature of the mind. A problem, whatever problem, a financial problem, a family problem, a relationship problem, a business problem, you know, all this kind of stuff. These problems they are projections of your mind. Because it's you who attributes meaning to situations in the external world, and then who has goals and objectives and wants to accomplish things, right? And all those things are parameters of the self, of your mind, of how you hold yourself relative to reality. There is no problem without the mind. In fact, not only that, but the problem has to be actively created. Your mind actually has to burn calories to create problems. It's kind of cool to think of it that way. Like, a problem has to be sustained. It has to be fed. Actively. This is an active process. A problem, you could almost think of it like a creature living inside your head, right? Like you have a little rodent in there, like a little guinea pig, and you're feeding it all the time. But you're not aware of the fact that you're feeding this problem. It doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem like your money problem could be a little guinea pig living inside your head. It seems like the money problem is out there. Or a relationship problem, or a marriage problem, or whatever your problem is. It's very critical that you grasp this. Like, very critical. That's all I want you to do from this episode. I don't want you to particularly take any kind of action. You don't need to go out there and do anything. I'm not telling you need to leave your relationship, or you need to stop worrying about your money, or you need to stop paying your mortgage. I'm not saying to do any of that stuff. I'm just saying grasp what I'm telling you at a deeper level. See the ramifications of what I'm saying and how it's true in your life. You have to recognize that you are creating these problems. And until you do recognize and become conscious of the fact that you're creating these problems, then you're not going to be able to ever let them go. You see? You're not really self-actualizing until you grasp what I'm telling you right now. This is so foundational. So foundational. Until you grasp what I'm telling you, your world will appear hostile to you. The world will appear unfair, depressing, and cruel. And that's how most victims feel about the world. Or if you don't feel that way about all of life and the whole world, then you feel that way about this specific area where you're having your victim mentality. Maybe you feel like when it comes to genetics and to your heredity, you were dealt an unfair hand. And that because of that, the world is hostile, unfair, depressing, and cruel. Or maybe you feel like at work, because your boss has more power than you, you feel like work life or business, you might feel like business is hostile, unfair, depressing, and cruel. Or maybe with relationships, you feel that way. Like, you keep trying to get into a relationship. Maybe you're a woman, you keep trying to get into a relationship with a good guy. You just want to marry a good guy. But every new boyfriend you keep getting into a relationship with, it just goes bad after a few months every single time. And you just have this pattern, and you can't stop this pattern. You don't know why. And it feels like, well, this is how guys are. This is how relationships are. Relationships are hostile, unfair, depressing, and cruel. And this is just a situation that you're not going to be able to solve. But that's not true. You're creating that. And how exactly you're creating that, that will take you some time to realize. That will probably take you months and years to realize how you're creating it. And the reason it'll take you so long is largely because you're unconscious and you're resisting what I'm telling you here. And you're resisting becoming conscious. This is kind of the beginning of the becoming more conscious process. But there's a lot more work you have to do. I have many more advanced videos that will show you how to do the deeper work. But before you can really sink your teeth into those and grasp those, you first have to grasp what I'm telling you here. What's really sad to me is when I see people that don't grasp what I'm saying here, and then it becomes almost impossible to help you. Becomes impossible for me to help you, becomes impossible for your friends or your family to help you. You really become stuck. Because every avenue of a solution that comes your way will be denied by your mind, because your mind is searching for the answers in the wrong place. Let's do a little thought experiment. Imagine for a minute that the inner world is all that matters in life. So this would be pretty much the exact opposite of what you currently believe. Because currently you basically believe that the outer world is all that really matters in life, and that the inner world is not very significant. So let's flip that around and just, as a thought experiment, consider what I'm telling you, that the inner world is all that matters. Now, if that were the case, if that were true, then that means that changing things in the outer world wouldn't work, right? It wouldn't really matter, because by definition, we said that the inner world is all that matters. So you can change stuff on the outer world, but it's going to be just like window dressing. It's not going to be significant. And any problem you try to fix in the outer world is not going to get fixed. It's going to keep recurring, right? Over and over and over again. And you're just going to become more and more and more frustrated. And it's going to really feel like this is an insoluble problem. It's impossible to solve this problem. So are you imagining that? Okay, good. Now, what's funny is that didn't we just describe exactly the situation in which you find yourself being a victim? Isn't that exactly what your situation is like right now? You keep changing the outer world, or at least you try, and the problem just keeps repeating over and over and over and over and over again, with slight variation, but basically it just keeps repeating over and over again, if you're honest. Isn't that your situation? So, shouldn't that inform you or clue you into the fact that it's the inner world that matters? Because if you don't change the inner world, if you don't correct problems there, they will keep being projected out into the outer world. It's almost like if you're at a movie and you're watching a favorite movie of yours at the theater with the old-fashioned time projectors, and then you see a blip, like a smudge on the screen, and what you do is you walk up to the screen, you try to clean it up, but it doesn't clean up. The smudge doesn't clean up because the smudge is like a dust particle on the lens of the projector, which then gets projected onto the screen. So you can clean the screen all you want, but if you really want to remove the smudge, you have to go clean the lens back there. You have to turn kind of inward. The eye has to start to look at itself, so to speak. See? And that's what I'm telling you to do here. See? You should not worry so much about the outer world. You should not fear the outer world. You should fear yourself more than any outer world problem. You are the thing you need to fear. Your mind, you have to recognize, is not your friend. Stop gullibly believing your mind. That needs to stop. That's what's led you to here. The reason you're stuck is because you've been gullibly believing yourself. And the self is a tricky bastard. It's not something you should believe. Stop allowing your mind to frame control you. See, what your mind will do, frame control, you familiar with this concept of frame control? It's kind of like your mind frames every situation in life. It almost sets the foundations, it sets the parameters, it kind of sets the reference point relative to which you judge everything else. And usually, you're not conscious of how, for example, people frame control you. marketers and advertisers frame control you when they show you a commercial. And for example, they're advertising some alcohol and they put a sexy woman next to the beer bottle and she's smiling. And your mind just looks at that and says, oh yeah, it's a sexy, beautiful woman drinking some alcohol. That seems normal. But then your mind doesn't recognize how you're being frame controlled in that situation, right? Your brain is already looking at these images and associating a smile with something positive, and that's being associated with the alcohol, the particular brand of this beer, and then that all sinks into your mind completely below the radar of awareness. And that's how the advertisers have frame controlled you in this situation. Or another way that an advertiser can frame control you is, for example, when they want to tell you, like, the price of the product you're about to buy. And let's say the price of the product costs $100, but they want the price of $100. You know, $100, that can be a lot of money for some people, depending on the product. So what they want to do is they want to make the $100 look like it's really not that much. So how do you do that? Well, first by saying that the product actually costs $500. So that's why you ever see on advertisements on TV where they say, this product costs $500 and we're slashing it off to $400. And we're slashing that off to 300, and we're slashing that off to 200. And then by the time they get to 100, your mind is like, oh, 100. 100 is like so cheap compared to 500. So that's just like a very classic sleazy marketing tactic. But see, your own mind does this to you too. Especially in those situations where you feel like a victim. Your beliefs about reality are very distorted as a victim. And you need to start to take your beliefs very seriously. The whole process of belief creation that you go through, you need to start to really look into that. Take that process very seriously. When you start to acknowledge everything that I'm telling you here, once you actually grasp it and you really acknowledge it, then what'll happen is that all of a sudden the following things will start to become relevant to you. Psychology, philosophy, contemplation, meditation, mindfulness, non-duality, intuition, wisdom, and truth. These things, right now, if you're a victim, to the extent that you are a victim, these things are not important to you. If you listen to a video or you read an article online about any of these topics that I just mentioned, it's going to seem like it's kind of abstract. It's going to seem like it doesn't really relate to your problem. It doesn't really address the practical burning issue in your life. But as soon as you grasp what I'm telling you, all of a sudden, a very important shift will happen in you. All of a sudden, you'll start to take everything I just said much more seriously. Psychology, philosophy, contemplation, meditation, mindfulness, non-duality, intuition, wisdom, truth, all these things will become very relevant to you. You'll become very fascinated. You'll become a student of these things. These things are going to be like the most burning issues in your mind. They'll become paramount. And only then can you really get the value out of my videos that you should be getting. Only then. Until then, you're just going to be skimming the surface and you're going to be kind of like looking for little practical tidbits of advice here and there. But you're going to be missing all the juicy meat that I'm sharing with you and that I'm going to share even more in the future. So take some time to just to contemplate all this, because I'm laying some heavy stuff on you here. Some heavy stuff. To help you do this, let me give you an exercise. So this is not just mental masturbation. Here's the exercise. Pull out a piece of paper and write down some notes here as I give you this exercise. Firstly, what I want you to do is I want you to select one area in your life where you are a victim. Be specific about it. Write it down at the top of the page. Then what I want you to do is I want you to write down all your justifications for why you can't change in this area, for why it's impossible, and also for why it's not your fault. Okay? Then I want you to identify how the problem seems like it's an external problem. Then what I want you to do is to identify how the problem is actually an internal problem. It's going to seem external, but actually it's internal. So I want you to find that contrast. Find how your mind is hiding from you the fact that this is actually an internal problem. Watch out for justifying that the problem is external rather than internal. You're going to have all sorts of justifications, and you're probably going to want to dispute what I'm saying here. And maybe you even agreed with everything I said up to this point in theory, but then when it comes to actually your specific problem, you're going to disagree with me. You're going to say, no, Leo, you know, in this situation for me, for this problem, you don't understand. I mean, Leo, how could you understand my problems? I mean, you don't understand what I'm dealing with in life. My problem here, this particular problem, this is a real external problem. So watch out for that kind of justification that your mind does, right? And then what I want you to do is I want you to ask this following question. How am I creating the obstacle? How am I creating the obstacle? And then ask yourself another question. What am I avoiding by creating this obstacle? What am I avoiding by creating this obstacle? And then finally, ask yourself the last question, which is, what must I believe to be a victim? What must I believe to be a victim? It's a pretty complex exercise, so you might want to go back and rewind and listen to all these and take notes on it, write down all these questions and all these steps in this exercise. But man, if you do this, you're going to get a lot of insight into everything I talked about in this episode, and you're going to see exactly how it applies to your particular situation. And hopefully that will be the beginning of your mind grasping what I was talking about, and then we can continue our work in the future with more. All right, that's it. I'm out of here. Please click the like button for me. Share this episode with a friend. Come check out actualize.org as well. I have a newsletter right here. It's a free newsletter. Shows you how to self-actualize on a weekly basis, right? I'm going to be releasing more and more content that's going to follow up on everything I said here and take you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the mastery of yourself and your mind. And we're going to explore topics like, how do you remove limiting beliefs? How do you find out how you deceive yourself? How do you become more aware and more mindful? How do you install positive habits that help you to avoid these victim traps that you fall into? How do you become more successful in a fulfilling way, not just in a superficial, external world way? How do you become the master of yourself to the point where your mind can deceive you no longer? That's a journey that takes some work. That's a journey that takes months and really years of practice, but it's very worthwhile. And where your life can go if you learn the deceptive aspects of your mind is to incredible places. So sign up to my newsletter, stay tuned, and I'll see you soon with more.